Family-owned Soccer Innovation is your go-to source for top-quality equipment. Whether you're a player, a supportive family member, or a dedicated coach, they have everything you need to elevate your game. For players, their innovative equipment are designed to boost your skills and performance on the pitch. From their agility cones to their portable goals, they have you covered. And family members, they offer durable equipment that's built to last because we know your support is critical to your player. Coaches, trust me, they can provide the equipment you need to run effective training sessions and shape the next generation of soccer players. Visit Soccer Innovations at soccerinnovations.com to start elevating your game with them. And if you use the code PITCH, P-I-T-C-H, you can receive up to 10% off your next order. Hey, soccer friends, I just want to give a shout out to our partner, TeamPlayer. They are changing the game on how you find the perfect soccer team for your player. Parents, this means no more endless social media scrolling to find information on teams. With TeamPlayer, everything you need to know is just a few clicks away. It's simple, straightforward, and lets you find the best coach and team for your player without any of the usual headaches. And coaches, we all know how tough it can be to get your team noticed, but when you subscribe to one of TeamPlayer's team plans, you instantly get access to set up an online team profile that allows you to reach more potential players and showcase what your team is all about. It's super easy and lets players and parents see why your team could be the right fit for them. And if you sign up using the promo code PITCH, you can try any team plan free for 1 month. So whether you're managing a team or searching for one, come on over to www.teamplayer.us. That is TeamPlayer.us. And come give TeamPlayer a look.
Ever tried watching your athlete's game from anywhere in the world? With Replayer, you actually can. I had a friend watch his son's game live from his flight. My son watched a live game from the car while we were driving up the California coast. It doesn't matter where you are, grandparents across the country, cousins on the other side of the world, teammates who just moved away, set up the camera, hit go live, and everyone with a link is right there on the sideline. Live streaming is free. Unlimited games, unlimited teams, unlimited users. No complex tiers. Everyone gets access. And forget waiting hours for footage. I recorded a 60-minute game, and it was ready in 5 minutes. Players were clipping highlights on the ride home. One camera, made in the USA, unlimited everything. If you never want to miss those moments, head to replayer.com. The link is in the show notes. Hello and welcome back to Chat by the Pitch. This is Ian Babcock, your host. This isn't my usual episode. I don't have a guest sitting down with me today, but I'm going to sit down and reflect the last 3 years of learning that I have and what I'm seeing the world of soccer moving to. There's some positives and there's some negatives and everything in between. And I think it's worthy to talk about because at the end of the day, there's a lot of changes coming in the near future, and it's kind of scary. And as a parent that has to navigate this and someone that talks soccer every day, I think this is a good time to share this perspective. So let me start you on my journey as a soccer parent. As you all know, I don't have a soccer background. I don't really understand the game when I first started it. I understood enough to watch it, but I didn't understand what offside was. Or offsides, if you're a new person, it's just offside. But those are the things that I learned very quickly about this game. It's ever evolving and ever growing. And my journey is the same way. 6 years ago, I dove into this because of my son wanting to learn to play. And we let him play with I-9 and go through the systems that are there, start with I-9, move to rec, then move to club, helped coach a team and club, and then I stopped coaching and he did his thing with other coaches. And when I stopped coaching is when I dived even deeper into trying to understand this, because as a parent, We need to understand what we're trying to do for our kids. If their goal is to be a fly fisherman and we know nothing about it, we better learn how to fly fish so we can enjoy the activity with them, because we only have so much time with our kids. I'm not saying live through your kids. Let them be the driver of the vehicle. Don't be the snowplow driver plowing everything out of their way. Be the passenger with them. Let them enjoy the journey. And you're there to read the map and give guidance. And that's what I've learned. And that's not because of I knew this stuff to start. It's because of all the interviews I do. It's because of all the reading I do. I can't tell you how many hours I read, how many podcasts I listen to, and how many books I listen to, and how many awesome conversations I get to have with people on a regular basis. And it's all because I want to learn. I think we all need to have that drive when it comes to our kids' activities, because then we get to be the passenger, like I said. I think getting up and learning the laws of the game is so important. For the longest time, I'd get up and the first thing I would do is open up the Laws of the Game app in my phone and take the morning quiz, the daily quiz, and then go read whatever law it was pulling from. So I had a better understanding. And this is how I became obsessed with this game, because as a parent, I dived all the way in and didn't look back. And honestly, the more I have learned, the more humbled I am becoming, because there's so much out there. There's so much things that are changing on a regular basis. And we just need to take time to understand all of that. And if we do that, we're going to be so much more successful as parents. Remember, it's about the kids and not ourselves. So as we do this, we start realizing what we're learning and our progression as a parent. And that's what I have learned as a parent. And with through all that learning, I have seen so many encouraging changes that are happening in this world of soccer. And the big one, I think, is the changing in coaching. There are several different things that are changing in the world of youth soccer. I think the education side of the game is number one. I am very fortunate because I get to talk to all these coaches. And because I talk to all these coaches, I hear what they're doing and what the clubs are doing for them. I know clubs that are putting on monthly lectures for their coaches so they can gain something. They have coaches come in from other clubs to teach. They have coaches from all over the world sometimes come in and give PowerPoint presentations on a certain topic, or specialists in certain topics from sports psychology to nutrition and whatever else it may be, or kind of rebuilding and regrouping these coaches to be better. Education is so powerful. And with that education becomes so many different things that are exciting. We're starting to see with older coaches, you're starting to see energy. With younger coaches, they have all this energy to share with these kids because it's all fresh to them. These older coaches are being excited again to coach because they're being shown different ways of doing things. And that saying, you can't teach an old dog new tricks, I'm sorry. They're learning new things every day. They're learning how to show empathy and showing how to show love for their players and connection. And at the end of the day, that connection is so critical. I think the best example we've seen in the game today is recently in the women's game when Trinity Rodman scored a goal. She ran over to Emma Hayes and did a dance, and Emma Hayes joined Trinity in the dance. This doesn't just show compassion and love. It shows that she's connecting with the players. She knows who her players are. They're just not jersey numbers. They are individuals. They're a human first and an athlete second. And that's a huge shift we are seeing in sports altogether. We have to treat the human element before we can work the athlete element.
And coaches are doing that more and more and more. And I absolutely love it because at the end of the day, it allows them to connect. And that connection allows them to get more out of the athletes. They learn how to motivate them. They learn how to push them just right so they can get to that next level in development. And sometimes it is a moment for athletes to see what's going on in front of them and then getting recognized and absorbing it. And I think that's the empathy and the emotional connection with the players. There are so many coaches I can give you that talk about development and that show development. I can give Gavin Moll, the DOC at Surf, Dallas Surf. He truly cares about development of athletes and development of his coaches. But it's up to the coaches to absorb that and take that message he shares. Just like our athletes. Our athletes go to training, and if they hear their coach go through the motions, but don't take it to heart, it doesn't mean anything. But I'm going to tell you, the advice I was given, you feed them by a fire hose, and eventually more things stick. They absorb more and more because eventually they get it. I think a lot of these coaches see development firsthand. I have a coach that's a good friend of mine, and he doesn't care if the boys win or lose. As long as they're doing what they're doing in practicing and executing it on the field, he will give them praise all day long. Even if they lose 10-0, they're executing the game plan. And that's all he cares. Because if they start doing it more and more, the development starts happening, and the results of proper and true development is consistent winning and consistent playing. It doesn't mean they always win. They're just more likely to win because they're doing the things that proper development allows to happen. Because of this, it creates better environments. Like I talked about my friend Gavin Moll working so hard on his coaches trying to get them better, it builds a better environment, which trickles down to the coaches, and the coaches build better environment. More knowledge is being shared and not hoarded, that they are sharing more across different clubs and different philosophies. Because at the end of the day, if we're building better athletes across the board, we're creating better competitions between clubs. Think about that. If all the clubs are so focused on development and not winning, we're going to go out there and see that development on the field. And if they're sharing knowledge, that just raises the bar. You're only as strong, your team is, as the weakest player on that team. So if everyone's coming up, everyone's going to get stronger. And that means all the teams in that age group are getting stronger. Guess what happens? We're going to get some really great football going on. We're going to see some really good players out there growing and developing and reading the game, playing the game. And it all starts with that little bit of changes from coaches. And with this, the emotional connection, that connection, I talked about Emma Hayes and all this. These players don't fear their coaches. We start to see that fear fade away. And they start seeing the love of the game to happen. And when we start seeing that, there's so many great things to come. But as we talk about all the great things, we still need to talk about the things that are falling apart. And part of it's just human nature. I think the most important thing that our kids have against them right now is every minute of their day is scheduled, either because of their activities or because of us as parents. And sometimes the activities are flowing over because of us parents. We think idle hands is a bad thing. And I think teaching kids how to be bored is so important. Every minute being planned and staged is so unhealthy. Now, that being said, we can easily fix this. We slow them down. I think kids are super overscheduled. Why are we signing up our kids to play in two different sports at the same time? And then doing it again the next 3 months or the next 6 months, whatever the cycle may be. If our kids are doing too many activities, we're going to burn them out on all of them, no matter how much they love the sport and no matter how much it means to them. We will burn out our players because they physically can't do it anymore. And the only reason they're pushing themselves is because that's what mom and dad want. And I think it's important for our athletes to have a huge say and on the commitment level they're doing. I'm not saying that they should practice once a week or practice 10 times, 3 times a week or 10 times a week, twice, training twice a day. I'm saying that doing too many activities will make our players lose the love for their activities. There's not enough time for physical recovery, and it doesn't allow them to have the other parts of their life that are important, such as the social side of the game, social side of the life. Because at the same time, my son has given up a lot of activities over the years just to play soccer. We didn't force him to make those. He had the say in it, because at the end of the day, he needs to be in the driver's seat because it's his future, not mine. It's not my journey, it's his. And sometimes we have to take a step back and tell our kids to be kids. And if we can do that, we're going to be much farther ahead. I think it's so important for them to know that it's important for them to be a kid. They don't need to be acting like mini adults ever. They're kids. Let them be kids. Let them grow and cherish those moments. The next side of this comes back to coaching and clubs. And parents. The biggest thing is inconsistency between all three. And it all starts with proper communication. Communication breaks down, everything else fails. This was a heated debate on social media all the time. And I think communication is one of the most important things. It's so easy in this day and age to send a message out to your team or to send it to your coach. Or to the club when there's something that concerns you. I'm not saying you go and complain about every little thing that's under the sun that bothers you. But use your judgment. I think from the club's perspective, making sure if there's something going on or a change going on, you properly communicate and figure out what is going on. If you know people, if you're a coach, ask them, do they see stuff? If you're a DOC, reach out to these parents that you know and ask, are you seeing these emails? What does it mean to you? If you are a coach that has a starting off your season, set the expectations high and expectations for boundaries also. Because at the end of the day, if you don't set any expectations, there's going to be chaos. And chaos does not do well with youth development. Youth development needs structure. Youth development needs fun and exciting. You can be three, you can be 18, it still has to be fun. The fun just changes as they get older, and you have to captivate that. And it goes back to the communication side. So if you don't have those structures and you aren't communicating with your parents, you aren't doing the things that you need to do to make sure things are going well between your parents and players, it's going to fail. I like the analogy from Nate Baker. He talks about player plus parent equals one. And I've had some heated debates about this. And I think it's true. If the parent and the athlete are not aligned, how will the coach ever effectively communicate? How will the club effectively communicate to that player plus parent if they aren't aligned? And this causes a trickle effect. So think about this. If the parent and the player are aligned, and the player and the coach are aligned, what's going to happen when they all start falling apart? And what I mean by this is that they all need to be working together. So if they're all aligned and the communication's there, it works out perfect. It decreases frustrations. It decreases issues of people wanting to leave. Because I guarantee you, the number one reason why most parents leave clubs a lot of times is the lack of communication between coaches. Lack of communication between the club. And all parents want is that feeling of uncertainty to be gone. And if we can remove that feeling of uncertainty, we're going to be so much farther ahead. Because at the end of the day, you're truly making things better. And I think that bleeds into this next part, because culture, I truly believe, is one of the most important things for anything within a team, within an organization. Because if you have a horrible culture, no one will want to be there. No one wants to be a part of it. And if they're there, they're there because they are hoping to get something out of it that only benefits themselves. But if you have a strong foundation in culture, where culture builds everything, and I'm saying, not the culture is not there to be win at all costs. The culture starts with a belief in the right things and development and things along those lines. And part of that brings in the pay-to-play model. We are in an environment now where the wealthier you are, the more chances are that you'll go play at the higher level, because now you can go play. Tell me, how many families can go afford $15,000 a year to go play on a national team and never go see their kids play live because the family can't afford to go with their kids? Tell me how wrong that is. If we aren't beating locally, why are we traveling? And if we are wanting to have a national level, we need to change the structure to where it better, what's the word I'm looking for? It better develops the kids. So the kids that truly are talented move up. There's no politics. There's no favoritisms. It's truly based on raw talent and getting these kids to be seen. At the end of the day, if the most talented kids can't get in the door because they financially can't pay, we're missing out a bunch of kids playing. I don't get it. Our culture needs to change and finds ways to make all sports, not just soccer, but all sports, are more affordable for these families to have their athletes play. Because why should it be only left to the few? And that margin just gets bigger, because the kids that may not be as talented, they are getting better because they're getting private lessons. But the kid that has all the natural talent in the world can't get a moment on the pitch, the court, whatever it may be, because they can't afford to be there. There's so many stories. You just start searching them. We need to fix this problem. It's a huge issue. As I pause here thinking about everything and trying to gather my thoughts, I think if we take those moments and those issues, and what do our kids actually need to be better and developing, it comes down to a safe place to play. And at the end of the day, how do we create these safe places? What is a safe place? What does it mean to you? What does it mean to your athlete? And I think this really starts to change how we look at things. I'm going to take it from my perspective and the things I have done wrong and the things that I think parents and I have seen, and go from there. And I'm going to make this not blaming parents or being rude, but we need to shut up. We need to be quiet some. We don't need to be badgering the refs. As much as I enjoy it, my wife says, I really don't enjoy it. I just get mad because I want kids to be safe, and then I blow my cool because I'll start nitpicking. And does that help the kids? Is that creating a safe environment when we do that? No, because what ends up happening, they end up mirroring our behavior on the pitch. And then they do it to their teammates. They do it to the refs. They do it to their coach. If we just, if we just take a moment and look at what we're doing and how we're creating a safe environment for those mistakes, for those failures, the game just gets better. If they can go out there and have that safety, they're much more likely to be successful, because at the end of the day, they don't have fear of failure. What they have fear of is not being creative. They have the fear of not being themselves. They should go out there and play who they are, be creative. And if they make a mistake, oh, well, celebrate the mistakes. And celebrate the victories. Because at the end of the day, how else do we learn? Are we always perfect all the time? No. We normally learn from our failures. And we normally learn from our mistakes. And I've been racking my brain a lot lately about this. Because I always heard a quote. And it was, a wise person learns from their own mistakes. And a super wise person learns from others' mistakes. But I truly believe a super wise person, a truly intelligent person, learns from both. Because sometimes failure is the only way you can learn. And if you keep on failing over and over, but failing in a different way and slowly getting better, guess what? You're going to be more successful. And when creativity is allowed, the safety's there. And what does the safety and creativity bring? Joy. Soccer Dave talks about this. Taking away all those things. He has a whole shirt. Go look it up. That talks about all these things that you need to wipe away and play for that joy. We need to foster that love and foster that joy of the game. Because he also has that great quote, and I'll give it to you guys all the time. We have to teach the kids to love the game to survive the sport. Because if they truly love it, they'll make it far in it. And sometimes far may not be the same definition as being a pro, but the lessons they learn that from the joy they have from it, they can find in other things and be productive members of society. There's other wins in life than other than the wins on the pitch. Kids don't have to be superstars at 8 years old. They need to learn to love the game, dance with the game, figure out who the game is to them. And by the time they're 25 and they still love the game, we've won. If they're out there playing at 80 years old, we won. Their coaches won. The parents won. Because they're doing something they care and love about their whole life then. If a kid starts at 3, they have almost 24 years. Think about this. 24 years before they're supposed to peak. Think about all the joy and love they can have in that time frame. To continue that time frame of learning to be one with the game. And have that compassion and with others with it, and have them grow like they've never grown before. And at the end of the day, isn't that what we want for our kids? To be a human first, an athlete second. And if we're able to teach them those lessons, teaching them to be an athlete becomes easier. Teaching them to love something in their life, that's an activity, so important. It allows those moments to grow and foster. So where do we all fit in this as parents then? I'll start off with myself. The first place we're at, the sidelines. practice or training or games. Sorry for repeating myself. They are at practices or games. That's where we are. That's where we are always there. Our behavior matters. What we do, our players mirror. And we have to understand that that affects them. If we show our maturity, I mean, I'm guilty of this. I've gone off on refs and yelled at them, and I make sure I apologize. And you can create some great relationships with officials doing this because they know that you see the game and you're passionate about it and that you don't mean any harm to them. But at the same time, we have to learn not to do that anymore. We can't be constantly apologizing to refs because of our antics and our behaviors. We have to choose to give grace and choose to give grace to our players. Because at the end of the day, the only way goes back to fostering and loving the game. If we give grace and allow failure, we as parents will eventually see our athletes, the light bulb will go on. And they'll be successful because it's their game. It's their opportunity. We need to give love. I think that's a weird thing to say with the game. But if we learn to appreciate what we have in front of us and cherish those moments, we will always have those. We have so much time watching them and it goes quick. And at the end of the day, when it's done, it's done. And we want to make sure we, as parents, give the best environment for them. And it starts with us, our attitude, our behavior. And if we enter everything as everyone's always learning, your coaches are learning, the athletes are learning, us as parents are learning, the referees are learning, I think we go into it and that allows the grace to happen. I think some things that can help is go be a ref. If you have an issue with refereeing, go be a ref. I'm one to talk on this. I know that I'm not ready for that, but I have reffed a few games and scrimmages and I've helped out where it needs to be done. And it's not easy. And I think giving back to our community does a great deal. If you have a certain skill set, go to your club and say, look, I have a degree in communication and marketing. Let me help you be better communicating with the parents because there's ways we can do it that's more approachable, that will get parents more involved. If you want to go volunteer on a board for youth organizations, I can tell you that every rec organization is lacking support. They need volunteers to make it work better. Help everyone around you to make smarter and better decisions. Be the support, be the leader, be the example. And this is a hard one, this next one. It's as we're doing all this, we have to learn as parents to communicate well with our athletes. I am horrible at this. I tend to nitpick at things, talk soundly about things, and instead I should be focusing on telling my kids I love them and I'm proud of them. Always make sure you tell your kids you love them after a game. Because that alone will go a long ways. Because as long as they know that you love them and you're supporting them, that will encourage them so next time they go out there when it's rough, they know that you're supporting them. As much as I hate doing it after the games, I always give my kids a hug and I always kiss them on the head, no matter how sweaty they are. Thankfully, they're shorter than me, so I can still kiss them on their head. But eventually those times will change. But I always give them a hug and I always will tell them I love them. Keep those car rides also short. Ask them what they think of the game, but don't nitpick. I'm horrible at that. Give them the love and change topics and let them enjoy being a kid. I think one of the hardest things as parents is when our kids' dreams change. We invest all this time. I'm scared with my kids that they won't play soccer because I've invested a lot of time in this. But this is my journey, not theirs. And their journey is being a player. And that brings me to one of my favorite stories from a family friend that their son, I think he was like 14 years old, realized that soccer wasn't his future. He wanted to be a chef. And he goes to his parents and tells his parents, I don't want to play soccer anymore. I want to give up my spot to someone that wants to go off to college. And the parents looked at it as two ways. Good for you for knowing what you want. And two, we get a pay raise. And all he asked in return was if he could keep his gym membership so he can continue working out. That two things that tells about that family dynamic. That kid felt safe expressing who he was. And two, his parents loved him no matter what he chose. So what can we actually do moving forward to make this environment better? I mean, there's so much. I mean, we as parents control it all. For parents, overlapping sports and activities, prioritizing recovery, prioritizing being a kid. Talk to coaches, find out expectations, boundaries, philosophies, how they integrate things, how the clubs do it. For coaches, share a plan, encourage mistakes. Communicate often and early. I think too many coaches don't communicate with the parents. And I think that's one of the things, because if they communicate, it eases anxiety for the parents. And just be honest. As much as it hurts, be honest. That's all we want. As much as our ego may be hurt, we can work with our kids on protecting them so they can continue that foster of the love of the game. And clubs, big one here for you. Support coaching education. Support communication with your coaches. Truly find pathways for development. Communicate it with your coaches. Communicate it with your parents. And stop focusing on winning. Because winning is the byproduct of true development. Early winning just gets you crappy players. True development for the clubs will guarantee success down the road. Because at the end of the day, you're building the culture. You're building all these things that you need to have for that little athlete that's young to grow through your system to become the next great athlete that your club has developed. No one has loyalty. And no one has loyalty because no club is loyal to them. So start there. Start with development. Start with loyalty. And parents, you have to be patient. Development is not overnight. It's a journey. It's a marathon. It's 2 to 3 years for every little stage. And clubs, if you really want to win over parents, make sure your coaches are doing what your club's philosophy is. So if it's a certain type of communication style, make sure it's being enforced. If it's a certain style of play and training sessions where they need to be, communicate it. Enforce it. Make it your philosophy. And ingrain it into every coach that comes in. And if they don't like it, they will self-select themselves out, or you'll have to remove them. So it's up to you, clubs. You're the start of it. Parents, you're the bottom of it. And you both meet in the middle with the coach. Let me end this with a few final thoughts. You, soccer, may seem like it's broken. And there's a lot of things that need to be fixed. And we fix them on the local level. We can't expect things to be fixed on the top, because guess what? we can only fix things locally. We all play a role in our athletes' lives. As a parent, as a coach, the club, the referee, the league organizers, the tournament organizers, the friends that come and support these athletes, we all play a pivotal role. It's up to us to choose where we want to be. We always can't be happy and go lucky, but we can always create those safe places. We can always create those environments where athletes want to be. Our kids need love, support, and space to grow. Remember, if they have all these things, they can grow to be who they want to be in the game. As I said earlier, we're raising humans first and athletes second. And if we're able to connect to the human element within our athletes, the athlete will grow more than we can ever expect. And as a parent with young athletes, I advise you and I plead with you, no matter how old your athletes are, give them that hug. Make sure they feel loved and supported in every aspect. Doesn't mean you can't be hard. Doesn't mean you can't be tough at times. But know they have an open door to you. Whether you're the parent, the coach, or someone else involved in the game with them. As I've been thinking about how to fully end this episode, I thought I'd leave you with this last few train of thoughts. I want you to ask your athlete next time they play, not how was the game, but at what moment in the game today did you truly feel like yourself? In the car ride home, just tell them that you loved watching them play and leave it there. I challenge you to do a weekly audit. Sit for 3 minutes and ask yourself, are we overscheduling? Where can we build in some recovery? Where can we fit joy back in? If you don't have 1 to 2 nights a week where the kid can just be a kid, it's time to adjust. Talk to your coach with intention, not to complain, not to push. Just ask, what's one thing my athlete can focus on this month? It helps you align with the coach. It reduces anxiety and it starts building trust, which is so important. Model the behavior you want your player to have. Pick one of these for your next game. And if you're already doing it, pick a different one or come up with your own. No comments to the ref. No frustrated sideline body language. No sideline coaching. Choose one, own it, and give your athlete a moment to breathe. And this one involves to write it down and post it. So go grab something. Write it, get ready to write it down and post it. We're going to ask you to write down the why for you and your athlete. So 2 short sentences, your why. Why do you support them in this sport? Their why. Why do they play? Put it somewhere, you'll see it and live by it. As I've been thinking about this, at the end of the day, our job isn't to push them towards greatness. It's to walk beside them so they can find the meaning of greatness.
If you guys have enjoyed this podcast, have enjoyed what I've been trying to do, the messages that I'm putting out there, please give me some ratings, some stars on all the podcast sites that you listen to this on. Give me a review, share this, share with others. The more I can make this grow, the more I can continue doing this. I'm really trying to make a difference in our soccer community. So I hope you guys have enjoyed all this. And until next time, I'll see you at the pitch.